Hell Yes Life, episode 60. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. All right, this is another episode from the parking lot of Lincoln Park, where I just finished episode 59, and now I'm trying out episode 60. Hey, we made it to 60. You know what's funny is I never was sure if I was going to record this again. I thought maybe 57 would be the final episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast when I was really in the midst of the depths of the past 3 months. Now, we're not out of the woods yet with the situation with my wife. And go back two episodes if you want to hear more about that. But the last 3 months of this have been particularly challenging. And during that time, I was like down in a hole, you know, basically. And I couldn't see any future for the podcast at all. You know, I was just like, I don't know when I'll ever get back to that. So it feels good to say, oh, here is it, episode 60. Okay, so what I want to I'm going to broach the topic of this conversation, and I may come back to it. And I don't have any notes written down here, so I'm just going to go kind of free form. This is something else I'm exploring too, so bear with me if you're listening to this. I'm trying to use the Force here, right? I'm a big Star Wars person, and really just trying to go to my intuition, you know, and what wants to come out. I don't want to plan out what I'm going to say in these episodes. I want to allow space for what wants to be expressed. In the last episode, I was talking about finding your voice. I think part of it is that too. So you're listening to me getting comfortable with the process of showing up, not knowing, in the not knowing. Right. In coaching, I'm starting to learn that's a lot in the language of coaching is being comfortable in the not knowing, you know, showing up with your intuition, confident that the answer will arise in the present moment. It's not something that I need to pre-plan or have, a ready answer for or a script for. So that's what I'm trying here. And I feel okay. I'm feeling kind of good just even saying that. Maybe a little more present in reminding myself of that. Okay, so here's the topic. It's crazy makers. Crazy makers. I'll bet you, I'm wishing this for you, that you do not have any crazy makers in your life right now. I'll bet as a human being, if you're listening to a personal development podcast, I'm willing to bet that you either do now have a crazy maker in your life or you have had a crazy maker in your life. Now, what is a crazy maker? Well, let's see. How do I want to put this? I'm going to try to talk about this in a way that is respectful to some of the people in my life that have made me feel crazy. that I would identify as crazy makers. So I'll keep it somewhat vague, but let's just say a primary family member that I grew up with that wasn't my dad has been a primary source of crazy making in my life. I grew up with this person. Okay, it's my mom. I don't know if I've really gone into this because I've been skipping over a few things in my life. In episode 4 of the podcast, I told my story. I talked about my Hell Yes story. I did talk about my own depression, but I was trying to leave this part out to be respectful to, my mom, but I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about this. And, you know, maybe just to the caveat here is my mom's a good person. She's a human beings on the whole are good. We are good. we were all baby. I hold and affirm this. This might be a coaching language. I affirm, I take a stand for this, that all humans, yes, even Donald Trump, I'm not going to get into the Hitler thing, but like, I just don't think that people are born evil. We're babies. We all were babies. We were all children, and all babies and children are good. They are good. Look at them. They're good. They get into, you know, little problems and they have fights and stuff like that, but they're all just, there's a light, a glowing light that comes out of children. So all that to say that I believe that my mom is a good person, but she, you know, when I was 12 years old, she had some surgeries, some hysterectomies that sent her, into menopause, and I didn't understand anything that was happening at the time, but she developed panic attacks and then agoraphobia. And she is still agoraphobic to this very day. She has not slept one night. She has gone around the neighborhood and stuff like that, but she's not slept one night outside of this house that I, you know, lived in when in my kind of teen years, you know, from like 9, 10 till 18. She has not slept a night outside of that house in over 30 years. That's amazing. And that has been really the reason I'm even doing this podcast and focusing on personal development. Everything in my life, in a way, has stemmed out of my need to cope with that situation. You know, I was in a lot of denial about that when I was younger by necessity. I think denial is a necessary tool when you're in an unsafe situation. But, I had a lot of trauma around that. I've had issues with addiction and certainly with codependency, always focusing on, oh, how is this other person doing? And that person's moods, that person's behavior is going to dictate how I'm feeling, right? And this is just natural. If you grew up, if you were a child in an alcoholic home, or in my case, an agoraphobic home, a home where there was mental illness or addiction or just general dysfunction, crazy making, right? You grew up in an environment where you just absorb that as this is normal. Not saying that you consciously thought to yourself, hey, this is good, this is normal. It's unconsciously, especially if you were a young child. Now, I was 12 years old, so I did have 10 years in my life, the first 10 years, and I'm thankful for this, where things were functional, relatively functional. I might be romanticizing that, but the way I feel when I think about the first 10 years of my life was, my mom and dad, they had their kind of underlying issues that I wasn't aware of, but they were out there and working and, you know, available for me and so on. And then this event happened when I was 11 or 12. And everything changed. You know, my mom became unavailable because she was so emotionally overtaken by her own issues. My dad, you know, kind of, God bless my dad. My dad passed away a couple of years ago. And I think he died somewhat early. I mean, he's 75. That's not that old anymore. Because he was a codependent, you know, he was basically, you know, the resentment that builds in a codependent's body is life killing. It's toxic. So, I've learned over the years, and I'm fairly transparent about this without going into a lot of detail, but I'm a 12-step person. I've gone to, I don't know how many 12-step meetings I've been to at this point, but probably in the thousands, hundreds of or thousands, and in different programs. And one program that has been very helpful for me, well, there's two of them that address codependency, are Al-Anon and CODA. Now, Al-Anon was originally started by wives of, I believe this is right, not, I think wives or family members of alcoholics to deal with their process that they're going through as their alcoholic husbands were, going through AA, going through the process of recovering from alcoholism. CODA is, and you know, I think there's a lot of different people that go to Al-Anon, but that's where it stems from. CODA is more open-ended. It's just any type of codependency. And so I, in some ways, identify a little bit more with CODA because, you know, there definitely was alcoholism in my greater family, but, my situation with my mom is a little bit different. Anyway, doesn't matter, because codependency, and then the other big thing, I hope you've heard of codependency and you're aware of it, and maybe I'm hoping you're aware of it in yourself, but if that's a new word for you, then a good place to start would be Melody Beattie's Codependent No More. And she also has a great a daily meditations book, which is called The Language of Letting Go. And I have a book of that from it's probably almost 15 years old now. And it's one of those books that's just, dog-eared and sort of old and wrinkly from all its use. I mean, there's been some times when I've, really been in need of that book. So codependency, that's what we're talking about here. And crazy makers are, maybe that's not a fair term because it sort of objectifies people in your life. And, I guess maybe I'm thinking of an image of, a crazy clown or something like that. So that's not maybe fair. Everybody's going through what they're going through and everybody's doing the best that they can. But as an adult, and maybe you're younger, but I'm guessing if you're listening to this, you're an adult. who is not living at home anymore. You're not in your, or maybe, who knows, maybe you are, but let's just say you're old enough to have moved out of your family of origin home. Every day you have that is after that, you have a choice. You have a choice about who you let into your life and what kind of behavior you will put up with or tolerate in your life. And actually, do you really want to put up with that much, right? You don't want to be spending most of your time with people that you're just tolerating. It's like, ugh, there they go again. Okay, all right, I'm going to tolerate. How much of this am I going to tolerate? No, I mean, ideally, you want to be around people that feed you spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically, people that lift you up, not people that tear you down. Now, when you were growing up, you didn't have a choice about this. You just needed to survive. And I had a tough situation. I know there's a lot of people out there that had even worse situations. I did not experience physical violence as a child. I didn't experience war or famine or, if you're in a country outside of the United States, where that is a common occurrence, then my blessings go out to you. Let's just stay focused on that, that once you're out of your family home, and assuming that you're in a situation where let's just assume that your basic needs are met, right? That you have food, you have shelter, you have a job that's bringing in income. I guess I'm mainly thinking about the type of lifestyle that I'm familiar with here in the United States. So if that doesn't apply to you, then my apologies. Like if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, well, hey, I don't even have, I mean, if you're listening to a podcast, you probably have a computer, therefore you probably have a home. Anyway, so if you are living on your own and you have a job and you have relationships with people, either intimate relationships or friendships, what kind of people are you surrounding yourself with? Now, I would say the more work you do on yourself, the more personal development work you do, the better the answer to that question is going to become. My experience is, and now I'm not a trained therapist or anything, but I certainly have done a lot of therapy. And so take any of what I say here with a grain of salt. But my experience is that we tend to gravitate towards what feels comfortable. And I put quotes around the word comfortable here because I don't mean that it's comfortable. I mean that it's familiar. Yeah. We tend to gravitate towards what's familiar. And so we end up in relationships and friendships and work situations that mirror our, family of origin. And if you had a crazy making family of origin situation, environment that you grew up in, you might want to take a look around in these areas, work, friendships and intimate relationships, and ask yourself the question, do those areas mirror my family of origin? And, if you had a positive family of origin environment, if you grew up in a positive environment, excuse me, then maybe none of this applies to you. And maybe, yay, good for you. I'm so happy about that. I'm trying to do the best I can with my daughter here to provide her with a healthy environment to grow up in. So, the more of us that are working on ourselves, the more that future generations may not have to quite as much. if you grew up in an alcoholic home, do you have an alcoholic partner? Do you have kind of crazy making dysfunction in your work environment? Do you have friends that are kind of constantly, maybe they're alcoholic, or maybe make it more general than alcoholism, that are making you crazy? And what does it mean to make you crazy? So just people who kind of say one thing and then they do another thing. I'm just trying to think of some broad examples from my own life. And I'm going to try to keep it as broad as possible, but maybe they'll tell you what you'll have a conversation with them on one day. Have you ever had this happen? You have a conversation on one day. You're pretty clear about what the terms are here of the conversation. You heard them say it, you think you're both on the same plane. And then let's say a couple of weeks later, you are talking to this person and they reference that conversation and they're like, what? What are you talking about? I never said that. And they're going like completely in the opposite direction. Have you ever had a situation like that? Now, I have, and I've had that situation multiple times. My mom pulls that kind of stuff on me all the time where she's like, going in the other direction, just kind of like, no, I didn't say that, blah, 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 blah. Or just games, right? You know this. And again, God bless these people because most people are probably not consciously thinking, I'm going to really screw with this person. I'm going to say this thing that is the opposite of what I know to be the truth. Now, it's kind of happening on an unconscious level. And, these people grew up in the environments they grew up in, and everything's passed down and passed down, right? But it makes you feel kind of crazy because you're kind of like, no, that wasn't the conversation. We had this as a conversation. And then you start to, as a codependent, if you're like me, I'm a recovering codependent. So I've learned how to, kind of stand up for myself, set boundaries for myself. But as a codependent, you start to think, maybe this is me, maybe I'm misremembering that. Or maybe I need to have more compassion for this person. And, So when you're, and here's the other problem is if you are in those areas that I just talked about, I'm sure there's some other areas of your life, but I think those are three primary areas, right? Intimate relationships, friendships, and work relationships. If you're mainly surrounded by people that are crazy making, like your family of origin was, then it might be really hard for you to discern what is crazy making behavior. But as you, and now I'm in a place where most people, almost everybody in my life, because I'm in the recovery community and I'm in personal development and I have a lot of friends who are coaches and who have done a lot of work on themselves, almost everybody in my life is a positive influence on my life. They're supportive. There's no games there. It's sober. And what I mean by that is not drinking, but sober thinking, clear thinking, present in their lives. You know, most of the people I interact with, and I'm thankful for this, like even the people that I work with, I don't know those people well enough to know. I don't think that they're in recovery or doing personal development work, but I'm thankful that the environment that I'm in there or the people I interact with there are not crazy makers. You know, it's pretty straightforward, good people, so far so good anyway. I'm not feeling in crazy land. Now, a few years ago, I was in a work situation where I just dropped into this toxic work environment. There's like five people on this team, and two of them were these, content producers, and those poor guys, you know, they had been in the situation for a while. And then there was the lead person, lead client, crazy maker, and then her assistant, and she was a major crazy maker. And it was just like being in a dysfunctional family. I would show up for meetings with the lead person, and she, you know, I would say, yep, we did that thing that you talked about last week. And she'd be like, I didn't tell you to do that. What are you talking about? And she'd just berate me. And then the other person was like playing like these games, pitting us against each other, like, you know, saying how kind of gossiping and all this stuff. Anyway, you probably know what I'm talking about, right? You probably have had some situation in your life that's been like that. And I've had a recent situation, quite recent, that also was very crazy making, which was right on top of this whole situation with my wife's development with breast cancer. And I'm not going to go into that one because it's a little too close to home right now. But believe me, having a crazy making situation on top of a major stressful crisis it almost sunk me. I'll tell you, it almost sunk me, but here I am. I'm back. Yay, I'm back. Episode 60. So I think you can hear by the way I'm talking about this, that this is a topic that I'm passionate about. So here's what I say to you. Like, we're getting on the long side now, 22 minutes. If you're, all I can say is, you know, if you're in a crazy making situation and you're not in your family of origin, then you get to decide, what you will tolerate and who you will have in your life. And here's the thing, you can set boundaries. Setting boundaries is one of the most important skills that I have learned in my adult life. And I've had to set boundaries with some people that are very close to me in my life. And here's the thing about setting boundaries, and we'll maybe go into a separate episode, which will go more into this if it's like, oh, I'd really like to hear more about how do you do that. Setting boundaries is a unilateral decision. And this is one of the things that I learned it's going to sound obvious when I say this, but to me it was like a moment of enlightenment when I realized this. And here it is. You can decide to do something that is the very best thing for you to do for yourself. And the other person can have whatever reaction they're going to have about that. And both of those things are okay. So I'm going to say that one more time. You can do whatever is best for you, and the other person can have whatever reaction they're going to have about that. And both of those things are okay. Now, in my life growing up, those things were tendrils together. They were attached. So I needed the other person to be okay with whatever I was going to do. And in this case, I'll just be transparent. I'm talking about my mom. So that meant either she needed to be okay with that. Oh, good. She's happy about that. Or I needed to change my behavior to match something that she would be okay with or happy with. What I learned as an adult was, oh, you know what? I can think independently. I can act independently. I can do what is best for myself. And it's absolutely okay for the other person to not be okay with that. And I don't need to change the behavior just because they're not okay with it. So I guess I'll leave it at that for now, because I got to get to work here. But we'll revisit this conversation, because this is actually part of what I was talking about in the last episode, is like exploring your authentic self. Now, here's what I'm doing is I'm allowing myself to just talk about these different topics. And in a way, I'm starting to be able to discover, oh, well, here's a topic I seem to have some passion about. I'm not thinking with my head. I can just feel it coming out of me, right? So I'm happy to touch on this topic with you, and I hope that you've gotten something out of this. And I don't want to leave you hanging if you're like, oh my God, I need to set boundaries with some crazy maker in my life. Well, I just leave you with that. Just think about what is best for yourself. Some people, you know, there's a wider sort of a idea that when you do something for yourself that you're being selfish, no, that's not the case. Like, you need to take care, especially, okay, there's maybe other types of people that are always thinking about themselves. They don't think about other people at all. Then maybe that doesn't apply to you if you're one of those people. But if you're like me and you're, you know, well, I don't know. I can be a little bit of both, right? I can be kind of self-centered sometimes, just to be honest. But a lot of times I can be other referenced, thinking about, oh, what do other people need here? What other people want? And I don't take care of myself. And I exhaust myself. And I'm depleted, and I can't help anybody when I'm depleted. So you need to take care of yourself first. So there's a difference between being selfish and taking care of yourself, practicing good self-care. So I will leave you with this. I want you to think about how you can take care of yourself in a better way today. Today, this week, this month, this year, but let's start with today and this week. What could you do that is good self-care? I've been taking some great walks here in Lincoln Park that is definitely a positive for me, getting out into nature, you know, getting some exercise, getting some alone time. So what is that that feeds you? And then start to think about the people in your life that are draining. You know, just think about the different people in your life and think to yourself, does this person feed me or do they drain me? Do they feed me or do they drain me? And, you know, it's not so simple. You're not going to be able to cut out everybody in your life that drains you. But it's good to be aware of that. And you can start to think about, am I in a situation at work that's more draining, is draining me more than feeding me? Then, okay, I've got that on my radar now. That's something that I can think about. Am I in a relationship that I'm constantly having arguments with this person about what I said, what they said, back and forth, and, you know, big drama? Well, maybe that's something that you want to have strongly on your radar. Like, is that going to work for you? Is that really going to work for you? Do I have friends that are really friends for me, that are supportive, that you feel like they're holding you up? Or do you feel like they're kind of stabbing you in the back and pulling you down? And, you know, there's the classic crabs in the bucket example. Are they one of those crabs that as you start to rise in your life, are they kind of pulling you back down? Are they negative? Are they kind of always focused on, you know, complaining about people? Or especially that, you know, like, I'm starting to try to be more creative in my life, and I'm starting to notice that I have to be honest, you know, like, I have been a critic when I go to a movie and, oh, I don't like the way they did this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? You know, there's a Teddy Roosevelt quote about get in the ring, get in the arena, And those are the people that matter, not the people that are up in the stands criticizing, right? So do you have friends that are in the arena that are doing things, that are taking action, moving forward? Or do you have people who are up in the stands, pointing fingers, criticizing, backstabbing, and all that? As you can see, again, yeah, I've got some energy around this this topic. So, okay, that's it for me. This one came in at about a half hour. I hope you enjoyed it. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.